The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I am your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer Mike. How you doing?
Excellent. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
Can't complain too much.
Nope. Not too much to complain about this fine Monday morning.
Except I'm a little bit worried about the Bears.
Well, worried is one thing, but not doing fine is another thing. We're still fine.
You know what? They always find a way to win.
Yeah, no, that's what counts.
That's what counts. They always find a way to win. That quarterback was a third-string quarterback or something.
He took us apart. Yeah, he took us apart.
Well, took Manning apart.
Yeah.
Two times for touchdowns. That hurt.
Yeah.
And a fumble didn't help either by
Hester. You know what? He was a little too cocky out there.
Yeah, he was.
You know, he thought he was the king out there, and he fumbled twice.
Yep.
Yeah. Once cost us dearly.
But the story of the Bears gets interestinger and interestinger.
It does.
Tank Johnson. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably should be suspended just for being stupid.
Yeah, no, that's a good reason to get suspended.
I mean, after what happened, after the arrest, what the heck is he doing in the wee hours of the morning in some bar?
Yeah. No, he's not. He's not good. Great football player, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but, you know,
he's had a great season.
Oh, you gotta behave at least until February. Just stay clean.
I don't know what's gonna happen. All right, let's move on. We got a lot to talk about today.
Absolutely.
Actually, I have a couple of stupid regulations of the week. One is already happened in New York City, and those of us, looking at smoking bans, saw this coming. We kept on calling it, and it's here now in New York City. The New York City Board of Health has unanimously passed a law. I don't know how they pass laws, but when they're just boards, but they do these things, you know, in this country these days, that prohibits any restaurants in New York City from using trans fats.
Really?
Yeah.
All restaurants can no longer use trans fats.
I believe it's all restaurants in New York City. In Chicago, Mr. Fascist Ed Burke is talking about the bigger restaurants. But he's starting to back off a little bit from that now. But, you know, where does this end? What about white sugar consumption, white flour?
Right.
You know, those are not good for you. We should all be eating stone ground whole wheat flour.
For health reasons.
And raw sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should just ban refined sugar. Because it's not good for us. It's not good for our health. Really? I mean, where is this going to end, folks? How much are people going to take? It's absolutely incredible. It's not incredible to me. It's very believable, but it's really outrageous.
You just wait till the police pull you over for being a little overweight.
Well,
I'm sorry, you're 5'5", and you weigh 150.
Right.
You have to go to fat camp for 6 months to lose those 5 pounds before we can release you back into society.
Re-education fat camps.
Yeah.
Karl Marx is back.
That's where it's going to end.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, that's one of them. And yeah, and they're talking about doing this in Chicago, too.
Hmm.
So it's not just the idiots in New York. Okay, and the other one, this is I don't know if this might even be more outrageous. It is now against the law to melt down coins in this country. You could get a $10,000 fine or imprisonment for melting down coins.
Hmm.
Because now, you know what? The copper is worth more. The copper pennies are worth more than the face value.
Right, because copper is a little bit more.
And we can't allow that to happen. We can't allow American citizens to actually maintain their wealth when we're trying to inflate them out of existence, any of their wealth. So we need to oh, I'm sorry, to say 1 year imprisonment up to 5 years.
Oh no.
$10,000 fine or both. If you melt down evidently one coin. This is America, the land of the free, home of the brave. The rule also bans the exportation of the coins beyond traveling with $5 worth and shipping up to $100 for legitimate purposes.
You're kidding me.
I wish I was.
I wish you were too.
It just amazes me that people still believe that we're living in the land of the free. Well, it's still the best country in the world. And if you don't like it, you can leave it. I don't know. Well, you know, at least there's some people fighting back to the oppression. And I have a gentleman next to me who's doing just that and doing a great job and helping out those in need in Arlington Heights, where, as we talked about last week, the village fathers have decided that they know better than the marketplace, and they're going to try to force out U.S. citizens and their dreams, their small business dreams, out of the International Mall on Gulf Road in Arlington Heights in place of the Super Target. Company.
Super Target.
Well, and they think in the long run they're going to bring more tax revenue, and I guess they need that because they need to pay for their $25 million of Village Hall that they're building.
Mm-hmm.
So, at any rate, we're going to talk to Scott Bluedorn, who's helped lead the fight against the fascists. And let's call them what they are. Good old boy fascists. So after the break, we will be talking to Scott about that and about the protest coming up tonight at 847-931-1410. This is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number again, 847-931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a 2-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. Cause I'm the tax man.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. I'd like to welcome once again to the show my good friend and colleague and freedom fighter, Scott Bluedorn. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, I'm honored to have you on today, and we got a situation in your next-door neighborhood, Arlington Heights, one of the areas, I guess that's part of the area you ran for state rep, or right next to it, at least.
Right, that's correct. I'm a former candidate for state representative. The district that I ran in covered the entire northern half of Arlington Heights, so I'm quite familiar with the goings-on in the community and in particular local government. I think your stupid regulation of the week highlighted the problem, and I think a lot of people need to wake up to the fact that a lot of our lost liberties are money, and in this case, even our own property, are at risk, and a large portion of this type of nonsense is going on right at the local level.
And, well, we talked about this last week, and we're continuing this week because we think it's very important that this be fought. And it's actually one area where our freedoms would be taken away, where I think a lot of the people, majority of the people, are actually with us on it. And Arlington Heights is infamous for these using the tax increment financing laws to steal property away and give it to their buddies, basically.
Yeah, Ken, you're right on that, and I think what we're talking about here today is not unique to Arlington Heights, although they seem to have taken this to a level that that has just been unseen and unseemly as well. The tax increment financing laws, just to give your listeners a little bit of background, TIF districts are a special taxing district, which when the state legislator created the law enabling this special financing district, the intent was to address problems of urban decay and dilapidated areas in the inner city.
Blight.
Blight, exactly. And over the period of years since these things have been going on, more and more we're seeing affluent suburbs use this device essentially to provide welfare to the developer and provide special advantages that aren't available in the marketplace. If a developer needs to fix property defects and infrastructure, the municipalities will incorporate those property improvements in the tax advantages that the TIF provides. Some municipalities even go so far as to include landscaping and so forth. So when people hear the word infrastructure, it's in a lot of cases it's misleading.
It amazes me how these city fathers must have absolutely no pride in their own community, because as you say, Arlington Heights is a relatively affluent community, and they have no qualms of calling parts of their beautiful city blighted.
Well, here's the shocking thing, and this is a point that we're trying to get out, and I think once the public has the information on this situation, we can start to reverse this. But International Plaza, which is the property in question, it's located at the intersections of Gulf Road and Arlington Heights Road. 4 years ago, when this whole situation began, the first step in the process is for a municipality to declare an area blighted. Now, International Plaza, in the summer of 2002, was running a 97.75% occupancy rate. Not exactly a blighted property, in my opinion. Now, even to this day, facing 4 years of a stigma of having their property designated blighted, and everybody knows what's coming down the pike, this mall is still over 80% occupied. So it's a thriving specialty mall. It's somewhat eclectic in that these business people, and a lot of them are minority owned, are providing goods and services to the community that don't exist in other places. It is truly a beautiful place to shop and receive services and so forth. It's it's just beyond the pale that they would take the step of declaring this property blighted.
It's really as American as apple pie, because it's really, you don't see too many examples of this in the United States. It's truly where the whole notion of a melting pot has come to fruition.
Well, it also is a perfect example of the American dream. I mean, a lot of these business owners are legal U.S. citizens and have immigrated to pursue the American dream.
Right.
When you're opening up a business, you are taking a huge risk. You are putting everything on the line. You are essentially dedicating your lives day and night to creating the visibility and building a customer base and
finding the averages of 9 out of 10, I believe, businesses go out of business within the first or 3 years, I believe it is, something like that.
Exactly, and these are people who have succeeded in pursuing the American dream, only to have their very own government threaten to take it all away from them. And this is something that when the public gets information on these eminent domain situations, 85% of the public is with us. Now, last session of the Supreme Court during the Kelo decision, there was, you know, an incredible outrage by the public. And in the majority opinion that opened the floodgates for this type of abuse, they essentially gave the blueprint for how to avoid it. They said, well, the states and even local governments can take action to prevent this. And indeed, several states did. This election that we had this past November, 9 out of 10 states that had eminent domain reform on the ballot passed. So the village board in Arlington Heights appears to be tone deaf to the outrage that the public sees in the in this situation.
Tone deaf, or they don't care, or they're so arrogant they don't think it applies to them or that they can overcome this.
Well, there's several things that factor into it, and the root cause of the problem is that municipalities in Illinois that have home rule authority have an addiction to retail sales taxes. Home rule authority applies to communities over a certain population threshold, and it allows the village board as a body to impose additional local sales taxes within their community. This is on top of state and county retail sales tax.
Right.
So this is the situation that creates this problem, is they're fueling their addiction to retail sales taxes, and quite often they're just engaging in monument building to themselves. You gave the example earlier in the show that Arlington Heights is currently constructing a $25 million village hall. And essentially it's because all the other kids have them. And if you drive down Arlington Heights Road and you see this building going up, it certainly is a Taj Mahal, and you know, brings to mind the palaces that Saddam Hussein built in Iraq.
I remember the old village hall, and it was fine. It was very serviceable. There was nothing wrong with it. It wasn't falling apart.
No.
Maybe they wanted to declare themselves blighted. And the citizens can kind of just take it over. I don't know.
Well, that'll be the day.
So there are the organizers are organizing a protest tonight against this theft, this takeover. And what are the details?
Well, the details are we want the public to know what's going on. And like I say, all the public opinion polls that have been done, the public is on our side. They just need the information. So to create visibility tonight at 6:30 p.m., we're going to hold a candlelight vigil to save property rights in America. We're going to be gathering in front of the interim location where the village board meetings are held. The address is 1801 West Central Road. That's Arlington Heights, 60005. And we would like people to attend and stand with us so that people understand the situation that's going on.
Well, I encourage everybody to come to this tonight. I can hardly think of a more important event to go to, and especially, you know, at Christmas time, you know, good peace on earth, goodwill towards men, and all that nice stuff. Although I don't know, maybe it's a piece of stolen property for Target, goodwill towards corporations now.
Well, Ken, and I also want to point out that you don't have to live in Arlington Heights to stand with these business owners. This is an American problem.
Absolutely, no question about it. And as you said, it's happening all over the country, and it's really is time we stood up and say enough is enough. We need to stand up to these thieves. Oh, let's address that one thing though. The supporters of TIS always say, well, these people will be justly compensated. The Constitution provides for that. There will be just compensation. So what's the beef?
Well, typically, Ken, what you find is when a local government holds all the cards and all the leverage, the just compensation that that the Constitution requires. Well, it depends on what your definition of the word is. It's a situation where, in my opinion, fair market value for a piece of property is exactly what the owner of that property says it is. And in this case, when local governments hold all the cards, typically the offers that are made for the property with the threat of intimidation looming over them are quite low. They also will pledge to these business owners that they will pay for relocation expenses. Now, again, that's a situation where the sum that a business owner receives is, in most cases, paltry. And the Kellogg School of Management did a study, and they found that businesses that are relocated due to this type of situation typically will fail. And the reason being, I mean, you spend years and years building your visibility in a location and building up a loyal customer base.
Exactly.
And then when this kind of thing happens, your property is taken right out from underneath you. The compensation is below what it needs to be in order for you to rebuild that kind of customer base, and most people end up failing after this thing happens to them.
Well, yeah, what they're compensating, even if they do compensate for moving costs, it's just those moving costs. That's it. And as you say, it's taken years for these small businesses to build up a reputation, to build up visibility, to bring your customers over there. So to get true compensation, the government should be paying, would have to pay for years of advertising and also compensating for the present value of what the customers they would be getting, all those periods of years that they have to build their business back up to what it's going to become, if you were going to do that. And then the other point, again, as you say, is once the government targets something for condemnation, what happens to your market value, property values?
Well, that's the thing. And I think the larger issue is that most people can understand and accept eminent domain if the use is for, as required in the Constitution, public use. And a lot of people understand that, you know, if there's a fire station or a hospital or a road, that would be considered public use. But in this case, we're talking about government seizing privately owned land and turning it over to a private developer. And that's what people are outraged about. I mean, it's not a situation where the property is needed for a school or a fire station. This is just transferring property from one owner who is unwilling to sell and transferring it to perhaps a more politically connected developer. You know, in this case, we don't know that for sure. But, I mean, certainly the promise of additional sales tax revenue factors into it. And this is something that people need to stand together on, and we need to make a stand and put a stop to this. If you recall, I mean, a lot of this kind of thing was happening in the 1950s in Cuba.
Well, there you go. And I would like to say that some libertarians would regard this as a cautionary tale, true tale, about eminent domain at all. I think they would argue that once you allow taking a property for public use, you've already gone down that slippery slope to public benefit, which is what the Supreme Court ruled. And that maybe sometime in the future, people need to regard the whole concept of eminent domain as wrong in total, because this is the result. It's something to think about. This is Freedom Rings. I'm talking with Scott Bluedorn on eminent domain. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. Have any comments, questions, observations, give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president.
And re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
All right, we are back, and let's go right to the phones. I'm sure we got some good questions. This is Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hey, great show. Thanks, Scott, for coming on and speaking plain English so all of us can understand what's going on, especially with the TIF districts and the home rules of Illinois and how some of these corrupt mayors, you know, are able to, you know, contain and maintain a core criminal element in their police department, so that they can continue each of these criminal enterprises throughout the spectrum of the administration of the city's business. And I think as this protest goes, I hope you've contacted the networks, because there is a blackout in Chicagoland. You know, we won't hear that there's 2,000 felony gangbangers in Aurora. You know, we can't get the facts out nationwide, because there is, through the Combine Daily Ryan control, nobody wants to miss the Christmas party. So we can't get ABC, the big radio. We can't get nobody to talk about it. When you come on this show and this guy puts tape out and the word gets out, it really makes a difference. And I think once we get drug testing for the politicians and their crime buddies in the police department, I think 90% of these problems will go away. And all the criminal developers will probably go right back down to Cuba, you know. And I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Tom. I certainly appreciate your frustration. Yeah, in a lot of situations, I would say that, you know, these kinds of things aren't necessarily nefarious, but there's a certain mindset that municipal politicians have, and it's some sort of a social network where they believe in their hearts that it's their responsibility to govern by their own personal fancy.
Well,
I'll give you a quick example. I mean, for example, in Buffalo Grove, we're talking about a land use situation where a bank wanted to simply put a gable roof over their drive-through lane. So they go to the village board meeting, and the architect puts on probably a 45-minute presentation with you know, beautiful drawings and renderings of the proposed improvements. And after the presentation, there was a certain period of silence, and Trustee Berman leans up to the microphone, and he simply says, "Well, the stucco doesn't excite me."
Just as if he was a developer himself at Key West. Just as if he was a multi-million-dollar developer instead of an elected representative of the people of Buffalo Grove. And with the new whitewash of Hastert and the willful ignorance statement that should go to our lexicon, it's a willful arrogance. They have no morals. They go to a church that services the green dollar bill. And I appreciate you, too. I know you got a bunch more callers. God bless you guys.
Thanks, Tom.
Service is power, is what I would say. That's what they're really after. Nothing wrong to earn an honest buck. Of course, we're not referring to honest bucks when we talk about politicians. All right. Hello, John.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
Anyhow, I want to add on. I got to say thank you for adding this gentleman on because it's about time people start hearing of this. I'm sure he's aware of the NAFTA superhighways.
Correct.
Okay, by knowing the superhighway, and they're going to be bringing up from Mexico all the way to Canada, the width of that is quite wide to the point of they're going to have to take all of that domain
right
from everybody all
right
the way from Mexico to Canada.
Right.
Now, people are not aware of this because they want to close their eyes to the idea that there is such a thing as a superhighway coming. But if they start doing a little checking, they're going to find that there's going to be an awful lot of places, land, houses, everything going to be with this domain going to be taken over, and
right
they're going to snatch up these houses and businesses and everything. They ain't going to care. So it's a good thing you're having this, and I appreciate you being on. Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Don. And the thing is, I guess those in power could say that, well, this is constitutional because it's for public use. It's a highway, but it doesn't make it any less outrageous. This is going to be the biggest eminent domain takeover in the history of the country if it actually happens. We have Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Hey, listen, you know what? I'm glad this guy's on. I also want to throw something in there about the eminent domain situation. I think it ought to be done away with, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I think there's no reason why the government of any entity needs to have something like that to force somebody, landowner, property owner, what have you, to sell because they want to put some kind of a parking lot there or whatever, you know. And I can attest just from what I've seen in St. Charles and Geneva. Now, this rule is outdated. There's so many rules that are on the books for government now that are despite the times, we need to get rid of them. They're old hats, and all they do is cause grief and discontent. You know, to me, it's ridiculous. But the reason I bring the eminent domain again up is like Don was just saying, you know, part of the problem is this government, they don't tell you anything until after the fact. And I can tell you that where I'm at in Geneva, they built this, the Geneva Commons. And it lost money every year but the first year it was open. And now the city is $300 shortfall. It's running out of money. It doesn't have the money to do what we need. I can tell just from the last snowstorm, they did a crappy, just the worst job I've ever seen. It was non-existent. And now they're going to go to the taxpayers and say, well, look, we need to get more tax dollars because of a goof up. And and they don't want to admit it, but instead of being, building these big extravagant, malls that seems like they're cropping up everywhere, let's focus on the issues of the town and taking care of the maintenance and the electrical and the plumbing and, all the sewers and the water and the roads and things like that. They don't do that. They'd rather condemn somebody's property and build some big monstrosity that we don't have the money, by the way, to pay for and then worry about it later. I don't know how you guys are, how feel about that, but that's just, it's like they don't look at the after effects 10 years or 20 years down the road. They look at now thinking that this is going to pay for all their wants and needs in the near future, and it doesn't work. Am I wrong or what?
Jeff, I think you're making an excellent point, and that is that when you have local politicians playing pretend as if they're land developers and they have no personal liability or financial liability should a project fail, then obviously that's going to create some decisions that that don't work out in the long run. And I can give you another example in Arlington Heights. They have another TIF district in the downtown area. And one of the businesses, a privately owned business called the Metropolis Performing Arts Center, wasn't being supported sufficiently by the community. The marketplace didn't support it. There's other performing arts centers in adjacent suburbs, and you know, people have cars these days. And so this particular privately run and owned and operated business in downtown Arlington Heights was failing. Now, the Village Board of Arlington Heights decided that, well, we need culture in downtown, so they put the taxpayers on the hook and purchased this failing business, and now the taxpayers are liable for ongoing, year after year, operating losses. And again, it comes down to governing by personal fancy. The same downtown area, the mayor decided that she wanted a sculpture walk. So the Village Board put on an additional 0.25% sales tax on the restaurants so that the mayor could have her sculpture walk. Now, the better way to do this would be to reach out to the Chamber of Commerce, the Lions Club, the Kiwanis, do the fundraising, and fund a sculpture walk that way. So, I mean, these are people that have no personal liability. So it reminds me of kids playing with a train set, and they're building the village, and they're saying, well, let's put this here, let's put that there. Won't that be nice? We've got to stop this.
And the ironic thing about of this in situation in Arlington Heights is that while they're subsidizing culture and arts, what you're talking about, back in 1992, they used the TIF laws to take away the Arlington School of Music.
That's correct.
Who didn't want any support from the city fathers. They just wanted to be able to keep their own land and own property and own business there, which, by the way, was part of the Underground Railroad during the Civil War era.
Well, my understanding on the music school is they wanted that land for a parking lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Thanks, guys. You guys have a good Christmas. Hey, Ken, are you going to be on next week, or are you going
to
be out of town?
Oh, I meant to check that. Let's see. That would be the 25th, right? I think I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks.
Well, hopefully it's someplace warm and nice.
I'm staying sticking around at home, but no, we won't be back on until the whatever that is, the 8th, January 8th. Thanks for mentioning it, Jeff. I'm glad we got that out.
Well, thanks, buddy. You guys have a great New Year's, and hopefully next year will be better than this year was.
All right, Jeff. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, let's move on. Hello, Tim.
Hey there, Ken. Good morning. Hey, Scott. How you doing?
Doing well. Good morning, Tim.
Good. Listen, listening to this, first of all, I wanted to say, based on the prior thing you had mentioned earlier about the coins, Ken, the free and the brave still melt down for copper.
Yeah, but what we have mostly in this country are the meek and the slaves.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, you take a pick, decide what you want to be. looking at this whole thing, even if a survey were to be done, an opinion poll or whatever in Arlington Heights, and the majority of the people came out and says, no, we don't want this to happen, there's no legal obligation for these local politicians. Now, Scott, are these guys aldermen or what? What are they? What's their town government
set up? The structure in Arlington Heights is a village board with at-large trustees, meaning that a trustee does not run in a specific geographical partition of the city.
Okay.
That the trustees run citywide, or village-wide, rather.
Right.
Now,
so,
my understanding is that four of them are up for re-election this coming April, and I think this is a time for people to galvanize around this issue and make sure that there's a political price paid as well.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly the direction I was going for that, is that if it's a little harder when they're all at large, but because that means you can't just canvass or deal with a specific district to apply the political pressure. Are trustees paid?
I believe they are, yes.
Okay. So here's what my suggestion on the whole silly thing would be, is each one of these trustees must be made to pay a personal and emotional price for pushing forward with this. And that's really the only way it's going to change, because if they have no legal obligation to listen to a public opinion poll, who besides of that costs money to have that kind of thing happen, obviously these folks don't have that kind of money to publish something like that. The best way to do is find out and identify exactly who the trustees are, where they live, where they shop, where they go to church, these kinds of things, and start applying personal pressure. If you find out where they live and then you put out a flyer that alerts their neighbors as to their behavior, you know, this should be open and transparent and not let them get away with their political anonymity. And that's the only way that this is going to turn around, is that when it costs them personally and their families personally and emotionally. Otherwise, they have no obligation whatsoever. And legislation, all these great plans and ideas are all for some future date, that if you can get enough legislators together to agree with changing the laws on this, that maybe something will happen. That's really in a strategic, tactical way of dealing with this. It's the only way you can apply some pressure to the people who make the decision.
Well, Tim, that's exactly what we're going to do, and we're going to start tonight. We're going to turn up the heat. We want, as I mentioned, this is an American issue. We want all of Kenneth's listeners to come join us and stand beside these business owners. Let me tell you something. These business owners are very courageous in fighting this, because there's a lot of intimidation that can be applied. You know, I don't know of any circumstances where that's happened, but I mean, when you look at how Chicago politics works, if you cause trouble, then you're in for a line of inspectors waiting outside your door. So, yes, we need to create visibility. Zogby did a poll. 85% of the public is outraged by this type of taking. So we are going to be turning up the heat, and we want these municipal officials to see that the public is outraged. Now, you know, I mean, you also make a good point that, you really have to be persistent with this. There was a TIF situation in Des Plaines where an advisory referendum was put on the ballot, and as to opposing a proposed TIF, and I believe 70, in excess of 70% of the public in Des Plaines did not want this TIF, and within weeks after the election, they approved it. So, I mean, you know, part of the problem is, in municipal elections, the typical turnout is between 11 and 15%.
All right.
So my opinion is that, these people aren't being watched and they know it. So we need to change the dynamic. I think a lot of the public, they get their political information from broadcast media and mainstream sources, which focus on primarily the national issues. And
well, it's also the mainstream media is all focused on the powers that be anyway, for the most part. They're not really dealing with freedom issues. And
oh, they never deal with issues. They deal with horse races. That's about all they deal with.
Absolutely, and they never deal with the root causes, the cause and the effect, and how does this break down for freedom. One last thing I wanted to say before I go and let you move on, and that is, if anybody can shop over there at International Plaza and go there and help support the business owners there this time of year, that would be greatly appreciated.
Great idea.
All right. Bye.
Thanks, Tim.
Yep.
This is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. Talking with Scott Bluenern about theft of property via government to those who have connections to government, let's say, through eminent domain. 847-931-1410. Give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute, and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, talking with Scott Bluedorn about eminent domain and locally what is happening. And once again, Scott, we have a protest, a candlelight vigil coming up. What are the details?
The details are this evening at 6:30, we're going to be gathering out in front of where the village board meetings are held in Arlington Heights. The address is 1801 West Central Road. And the zip code is 60005. I encourage all of your listeners to stand with us. I know and I understand that we're competing in the Christmas season, and I think people need to take a break from shopping at the mall, and they need to realize what's important and some of the things that are going on in this country we need to take a stand against. So please join us this evening. We're having a candlelight vigil, 1801 West Central Road in Arlington Heights. And we need to put a stop to this thing.
I can't think of a more appropriate way of keeping in with the holiday spirit of the season, than to attend this candlelight vigil in favor of property rights and peace and goodwill towards all men.
Well, that's correct. I mean, we're celebrating this Christmas season the birth of Christ, and One of the teachings is thou shalt not steal. And that's exactly what's at the heart of this issue, is that the brute force of government is being used against International Plaza in Arlington Heights.
Well, I will definitely be there, and I hope we have hundreds of people, if not thousands, to show up, at least a good number, to show the village board that we mean business this time, and they ain't going to get away with it this time. So please, folks, you know, make every effort to make it 6:30 tonight in Arlington Heights, 1801 West Central Road. Do you know if that's east or west of Arlington Heights Road?
Let me just try and visualize in my head. I believe it is west of Arlington
Heights. West of Arlington Heights
Road. It's near the intersection of Central and New Wilkie Road.
Oh, that's definitely west then.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. Well, we got, what, about one more minute?
About 35 seconds.
35 seconds. Okay. Well, Scott, thank you very much for being on the show today and for your efforts for freedom. I know you're involved in a lot of different projects. You are a libertarian running with a stupid party right now, but that's okay.
Well, Ken, I am affiliated with the Republican Party, and there's a lot of good libertarians that are coming up through the ranks.
I couldn't resist. Some things that the Republicans do is just beyond amazement to me. But I'm glad you're fighting for freedom in whatever aspect you think is the best way to do it. And there's no better issue than this eminent domain.
That's right.
Thanks for your efforts.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Quotation of the week. And this is from Edmund Burke. Those who have been once intoxicated with power and have derived any kind of emolument from it can never willingly abandon it.